So, yes, please. As long as you are happy, you know what Francis says, as long as you are 99.9% happy, why trouble yourself with wanting to know anything, really? But if you're not 99.9% of the time happy, then you will find that, and you can check that for yourself, that you are taking yourself to be a body-mind. You're taking yourself to be a woman. You're taking yourself to be a mother. What are there is an identification. So whichever way you go about it, doesn't really matter. As long as you you're happy. So we talk about what am I? First, to bring our attention to the belief systems, the core belief being that I am some form, that I, consciousness, I, formless presence, aware, awake presence, am this form, the specific body-mind. So you invite the question of the contemplation of what am I, to bring attention to this root ignorance, this root belief systems that is the core of ignorance and of misery and suffering, unhappiness. And the other side of the coin is to bring the attention to consciousness, which is the only reality that hears these words, that experiences all experiences. And is the presence that you are but is not contained. You that hears these words right now, whatever it is, consciousness, who's a hearing of these words right now, is not contained in any container. From your experience, you can notice that. Not from your belief systems, because your belief system might say, I am perceiving this perception inside my body. There might be this belief, this thought. That's why I'm saying go to your experience, and your experience directly right now. Are you experiencing hearing these words right now inside your body? In other words, do you perceive the hearing, is your experience of hearing these words inside something? Or is it just hearing? Just the knowing of the hearing, the experiencing of hearing, the purity of hearing, the simplicity of hearing, whatever. What is your experience of hearing these words?
Hmm?
Yes. Well, you hear these words, yes?
Yeah.
And is there any effort to hearing these words? Do you have to rearrange your internal body mind in order to hear these words? Do you have to prepare the hearing room, the listening room inside the left part of your brain in order to hear these words? It's just an open hearing. I mean, openness meaning there are no walls to it. You know, like an open corral has no, it's just an open space. So the hearing is happening. But could you say that the hearing is more in that direction and less in that direction? Is there any direction to the hearing or just hearing?
Just hearing.
So you got your experience. Your experience is, why not trust your experience? I'm not talking about your interpretation of your experience. It's different things. Your experience before you interpret it. It's just pure, simple, open hearing. I mean, you use the term open, meaning there are no borders to it. I'm not trying to introduce a new concept, the concept of openness. I'm just using the term open to point to a borderless. There are no, it's just openly happening. Okay.
You say there is no, it's the hearing without the container, and I'm here, I'm like seeing my knees,
okay.
And I'm seeing I have a body.
Okay, so you're...
Those thoughts come too.
Okay. So let's take a thought. Pick a thought.
I have a body.
Okay, so here is a thought, I have a body that arises, right? So this, I have the body, the thought that arises. You perceive this thought, right? So let's take this thought. Let's imagine this thought is here right now, okay? I have this body. You perceive this thought, right? Now, the you that perceives the thought, or the perception of this thought, is the perception of this thought, do you have to do any effort to perceive this thought? Do you have to do to perceive the thought? Is there anything you need to do? You just perceive the thought. And the perception of this thought, is it, can you point, is the perception of the thought here or is it there or what is the perception of the thought?
Right.
It's an openness. There is this, back to that same term, there is an openness, open space, open presence. I'm just using terms, not trying to introduce any new theories or any new concepts. I'm just using language to point that there is a perception of thought that is just totally free and open, like you heard these birds right now. Right? So there is both the thought, which is some form. It's a form, like hearing the singing of the birds is a form. We refer to it as a form. Okay. It's not a gross form. It's a subtle form. The thought is it's a form, and there is the perception of the form. And the perception of the form is totally open and free. So what's the issue? So consciousness in both cases, whether you were hearing these words or whether you are perceiving the thought, there is this body, I perceive this body, consciousness is free seamless and borderless. That's your experience. Now, when you perceive the thought, meaning you as consciousness, meaning the openness, the thought arises in the openness, is perceived in the openness. And the openness is you. Because you said, I perceive the thought, right? I, but not a limited I as the presence of consciousness. I as the open presence of consciousness perceives the thought. Now, if you perceive a thought that says, I am a pink elephant. Okay? It's possible, right? A thought might arise. I'm a pink elephant. Okay? And you say, you laugh at it. Say, no, I'm not a pink elephant. Okay? No big deal. What's a big deal? I don't see any big deal. But let's say this thought, I am a pink elephant, arises every 4 minutes, every 3 minutes. I'm a pink elephant. And you laugh at it. I'm a pink elephant. At the 100th time it arises, you say, well, maybe I am a pink elephant. Yeah. It's, by 120, you say, could I be a pink elephant? By the 500 times that the thought is arising, now you're convinced that you're a pink elephant. And you feel, now you start to feel. You know, somebody says hello to you, how are you doing? And you go, I don't know that I can talk to this person because I'm a pink elephant. And pink elephants don't talk to people. They don't talk to people. So you go, I'm okay. How are you? And then you go to the other room very quickly because you don't want to stay with this person because in 2 minutes you're going to stomp on them. Pink elephants stomp on people. And somehow you... But after 5,000 times, now you're a pink elephant and somebody comes and says hello to you and you stomp on them. You stomp on them and they lock you up. They lock you up in the asylum. Now what's happening here is that nobody's locking you up in the asylum because you believe you're a body-mind. You know why? Because everybody else believes that. We're a herd of pink elephants. We're a herd of pink elephants. But not here. Here you cannot be a pink elephant. Here you can only be the truth, the reality that you are. So the fact that you are you're perceiving the thought and that you're feeling, which is more important than perceiving the thought because you're hearing all this talk and you're feeling, I'm this body-mind, doesn't make it so. If you are feeling that you are a pink elephant, that does not make it so. It doesn't turn you into a pink elephant. It's just a thought and a sensation arising in the openness of space, in the openness of being. Like this is openness of being right here, right now. You're hearing these words. This guy is talking and saying all sorts of stuff. You know, maybe he could be quiet for a minute. It's happening in the openness of being, the open space. Yes, we take whatever thought says we are, we make a major mistake. The major mistake is that we believe that thought is knowing. In other words, when thought says you are sick, we believe the thought to know what we are. But the thought is not knowing. If thought is known, you know the thought, you perceive a thought. Thought does not know you, you know the thought. This is a major flaw in our reasoning, is that we give thought consciousness. We believe that thought is conscious, but thought is not conscious. Consciousness is conscious. Consciousness is conscious. Spirit is conscious of the thought. Yes, yes. Consciousness is conscious. Only consciousness is conscious. Nothing else is conscious but consciousness. Only only wood is wood. Nothing else besides wood is wood. I don't know if it's a good metaphor, but you see what I mean? Only consciousness is conscious. Yeah? Only consciousness is conscious. A thought is not consciousness. A thought is the substance of thought is consciousness, but thought is not conscious. The substance of all experiences, of all events, of the world, of what we call the world, is consciousness. So in a way, everything is consciousness, but it is the reality of consciousness that is the reality of everything. Everything's reality, meaning the dream's reality, is the dreamer. When you are dreaming that you are in Acapulco, the reality of that dream, because there is a certain reality to that dream. You cannot say, when you wake up in the morning, you say, I dreamt I was in Acapulco, right? So there is some reality to that dream. But the reality of that dream, that whatever teeny tiny reality there is to that dream, is from you. You, the dreamer, you. There isn't like an independent reality of thought that is not apart from you. The reality of the dream is the dreamer. So the reality of all perceptions is consciousness. So when the thought arises, I am this body, and you believe, oh, there is a reality to that, there is a reality to the body, the reality of the body is the reality of consciousness. Because there's only one reality. And consciousness is not made out of bits and pieces. It's wholeness, meaning it has borderless quality. Consciousness is not an object, not something that is perceived. Whatever is perceived has a form, has boundaries. But consciousness is not perceived, it's the perceiver, the ultimate reality. That's how I use the term consciousness. I know other teachers, because I don't know, you know, where you know what your background is, use the term consciousness in different ways. That's why I'm repeating how I use the term consciousness here, so it doesn't confuse you in your understanding. Yes. So, do not give that much weight or importance to feelings or thoughts or emotions arising. What's the big deal? So what if a thought arises? There's nothing wrong with thoughts arising. I mean, if the sun shines on trees or shines on the Sahara Desert, what's the difference? The sun shines irrespective of whatever it's shining on. Yes? Just realize that you are the sun, you are the sunshine, you're not the desert or the forest. You understand? Because if you identify with the desert, you're suffering because you say, oh my God, and it's too hot. If you identify with the forest, you say, oh my God, it's too humid, whatever. Okay? Depends on your temperament. I'm just using it as a metaphor. Don't identify with whatever the sun shines onto. Don't identify at all. but recognize that you are that that perceives all perception. You perceive the thought. You perceive the sensation. Yes? And as the perceiver, you are not a perceived. You're not an object perceived, a form perceived. You're a perceiver of form, of thought, of sensation, of perception. The perceived has a limited degree of freedom, you know. A car can drive up to 100 miles per hour. Okay. It will, the life of a car with very good buffing, and if you clean it every day and so on, is 120 years. Okay. The perceived has a lifespan. It's temporal, is in the world of the mind, it's a mind event, meaning it's in time and space. But the perceiver, the sun that shines onto the desert, that is eternal. Because the sun that's shining on the desert, in 5,000 years, who knows, the deserts move with the wind and so on, it might be an ocean in 5,000 years, 10,000 years. And the forest that the sun was shining on in 10,000 years, there might be fires and so on, might be tundra. So what is perceived is impermanent and is changing. Thoughts and feelings and sensations and emotions, they're impermanent. And they don't define you. Nothing defines the sunshine. I'm using it as a metaphor. Nothing defines the light of consciousness or the reality of consciousness. There is no higher reality. Whatever that higher reality is, that's what I refer to as consciousness. Consciousness, I refer to consciousness as the absolute reality. That everything else borrows its reality from it. Like the moon borrows its, the moonshine at night borrows the sunlight from the sun. It has an apparent reality from the absolute reality of consciousness of the sun. Same thing with the dream state, same thing with the body-mind experience. It has a borrowed reality from consciousness, from eternal, from eternity. Eternity doesn't born and die. Yes? Eternity does not born and die. Only in the field things change. Like in the Upanishads with, what was it, Arjuna? Arjuna is, he was going to battle. And there were going to be a lot of killed people and armies and whatever, all sorts of things shifting in the field. But his teacher, Nagarjuna?
Krishna.
So Krishna was telling him, realize your true nature. Don't worry about the dream. In the dream, you have to do what the dream does. It's a dream. There are dream events. There is a connection, a flow, like the top of the ocean. The waves are connected in how, you know, with the wind and whatever. This wave is going up. The next wave might be have a different shape. It's a panorama. It's a mind event of the ocean, which is the unmoved depth and tranquility of being. Mary.
Practicing A Course in Miracles for, you know, several years. But somehow I came across Muji.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very taken by
the truth of it, and I tried to put it down and walk away, but I was still driven back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was reading this pamphlet from A Course in Miracles, and this doctor wrote this article, and he said that he practices Vedanta with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what my question is, where my confusion is about my path.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like I've been a truth seeker and trying to find my path,
mm-hmm.
and consider myself to be very spiritual, believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
But I get off the track because I get caught up in illusions a lot of times, trying to stay on the track, and then I'm trying to follow this new witnessing,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm very taken to. But then I find it a little bit confusing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, you know, real new to it, so I
mm-hmm.
find it. But I find that you seem to be very, very well versed and knowledgeable,
mm-hmm.
you know, about the whole process. So I guess what my question is, you know, I guess trusting in the path and
mm-hmm.
trusting in, maybe trust is the
mm-hmm.
right word I want to
mm-hmm.
be using.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, all the different methodologies, different schools, different practices that so many of them, they have in the end one destination. And that destination is peace and happiness. The peace and happiness that does not come and go, that is not dependent on anything, that is a complete freedom. So the realization of your true nature is the realization of the freedom, the peace and the happiness that you are. That, when you compromise that, then you're on a longer journey. If you hear that and take it to heart, then that will call you to it. The freedom, the realization of your true nature, which is the realization of your freedom, the peace and the happiness that you are, will call you to it. In terms of the practices and where you pitch your tent in a way, go to what resonates the most for you, where you're happy, where your heart recognizes something that bypasses the mind. Even though the mind might bring up roadblocks and struggle with it, go with what resonates for you at that level. And wherever you find yourself happy, enjoying the company of your teacher or the teacher or your friends, that's where I would, that's where the direction that I would follow. And it has to be simple and happy, not complicated practices, none of that. You follow your heart, follow what resonates for you. If what resonates for you is, who knows, it could be whatever it is, I'm not going to, you know, give any examples. There are various ways, but whatever resonates for you at that level. And What is simple? The path that is simple.
I was feeling the simplicity when you were doing that talk, and sometimes when I listen to Muji, he says, who is the perceived, like he goes up three levels, and then I get very like, I can't do it, you know. But I did feel the simplicity here, and I'm very taken by Maharshi. Am I saying that right?
Ramana Maharshi, is it?
Yeah.
Ramana Maharshi, yes.
Yeah, so
yes.
I'm very taken by the simplicity of,
yes.
You know, a few of the articles and books I'm
yes.
reading. And mm-hmm. I've always wanted freedom, like, just, that's been my whole soul searching
mm-hmm.
in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Again, like if something sounds really complicated for you that you know you don't get it, then it's not for you right now. You just you know, I wouldn't complicate my mind too much. Actually, I wouldn't complicate my mind at all. And there are different tendencies that, you know, different people have, and there are different ways and different teachers express themselves. But most importantly in the student is their love, their uncompromising love for truth, and their willingness to let go of everything for the sake of truth and not to hold on to whatever realizations or whatever results they get, because in the end consciousness is pure, pureness is pure, complete freedom. There's nothing that it holds on to. And what matters above all in the teacher is what is not said, much more than what is said. Meaning the stillness and the presence, which is the stabilization of yes, yes, right, like music behind the words. That the mind cannot get, but the heart does.
Thank you, that's very
mm-hmm. I was a Course in Miracles student for a long time, and spent a lot of time with Muji. In fact, Tanya and I brought Muji to D.C., came for a few years.
Wow.
Same, same. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
I don't find any, you know, any difference, much difference in teaching. Except the course was was momentum.
It's also very important to much more than understanding is also the living as the openness. So once you get a sense of that, the presence is to live out of the presence, the openness. So whenever you notice a contraction to not to follow that path, not to follow the me path, me, Mary, you know, not to follow that path and to release it. And just remain sort of babe-like, childlike, innocence. The innocence There is intelligence in presence. You know, presence is not just like, sort of like a da, you know, it's, there is intelligence, wakefulness, but it's effortless. It's not one's personal intelligence. It's a divine intelligence that's reflected right here, that's appears right here in whatever forms, whatever ways. And you can like trust that. You can sort of, at some point, you start getting a sense of that, and as you get a sense of it, you allow it. You say, okay, you take it on. You know, you consciousness take it on. I don't need to work it. You know.
Yeah, I do a lot of that working it. Mm-hmm. I spend hours, and then when I wake up, it's like I have some free time.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's like I have to work at trying to
mm-hmm.
get it off.
Mm-hmm.
And I've
mm-hmm.
always been that way.
Yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of work. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, so there are two aspects to this. One aspect is the mind aspect that's trying to work it, and that is has been doing that for years, and knows how to run this let's work it sort of a business show. And there is simultaneously the dimension of presence. In other words, as the mind is engaging and trying to work it, there is a light that there is intelligence, there is presence that shines onto that mind that makes these thoughts, because it's thoughts, basically, it's thinking, it's thought, that acknowledge these thoughts, that recognize the thought. For example, the thought, I need to go down in 10 minutes to DuPont Circle. You know, I have to leave in 10 minutes. That thought is a mind event. But that thought is known. If you do not know this thought, you won't even be aware of it. So there is the thought, and there is a dimension of there is the consciousness that knows the thought, that knows the mind. So it's important that you don't just stay with working it with the mind, but simultaneously notice that there is also intelligent presence, aware presence, the presence that hears these words, that is perceiving the mind. And that is what you truly are. That is a reality. There is a reality to that. The reality of that is what gives the mind its reality. Because a thought can only have a reality because it is perceived. It is known. A thought, I must be in downtown DuPont Circle in 10 minutes, is totally irrelevant if you do not know it, if there isn't a knowingness of the thought. Yeah, well, before even you get caught up in, well, consciousness never gets caught up in believing anything. It's a thought that says, I'm caught up in believing it. Because the I, there is an I that is an I thought. I thought meaning I as this person. I, as this person, is believing this. So it's a thought that expresses that I, first, am this person, and I'm believing something. So it's like a dream. Like in a dream, you're dreaming that you are a butterfly, and this butterfly, now that you believe you are, is dreaming that there is a dragon going to come to eat it, right? So it's a dream character that's dreaming a dream. Huh? So it's that way. The whole thing is happening as a thought while you're sleeping. So the whole thing is happening on the screen of consciousness. The screen of consciousness doesn't even hoot. If the dragon grabs a butterfly or don't, the screen of consciousness is totally unconcerned. It wakes up nice and clean. And if the dragon grabs a butterfly, no problemo. It doesn't affect it. So what I'm saying is that besides the mind, you are the presence awareness. You are the consciousness that hears these words, that perceives the thought. That is not taken up and down the roller coaster if the thought is going up and down the roller coaster. When there is a war movie that's being projected on the screen and there are all sorts of bloody events happening on the screen remains clean. Yeah, it's like that. The roller coaster of the mind doesn't affect the consciousness that hears these words. That's where you need to turn your attention to. Rather than remaining in the working it, go to the presence that witnesses the entire show. That presence is peace, is unmoved.
Some of the teachings are, who am I, and I am, and do you question that perceiver that's looking?
No, don't question anything. No question anything. Only thing that you can notice is, whenever you are unhappy, you're going to feel it in your body. You're going to feel it. No matter how hard you try to hide it, and I don't think you're interested in hiding it, you're interested in the truth. You will notice it in your body. You will notice I'm unhappy. Whenever there is this contraction in the body, you will notice, I'm inviting you to look there, you will notice that you are believing yourself to be Mary, to be this person, to be a woman, to be this body-mind. You're believing the other to be somebody else. That belief is invariably unhappy, leads to unhappiness. This thought, this belief that I am this woman, is perceived. How could you believe that, how can a belief arise or a thought arise without you perceiving it? There is something that perceives this thought. Like when you perceive a tree, you are perceiving the tree. There's something that's perceiving the tree. But you are not the tree. Right? When you perceive this thought that says, I am this woman, or when you perceive the feeling in your belly, or I am this woman, or in your shoulder, or whatever, I'm this person. When you perceive that feeling, you, something, whatever it is that hears these words, is perceiving this feeling. But you are not the tree. You're not what you're perceiving. You see. So, you will notice. And I don't tell anybody to practice who am I or anything like that. But just invite you to, whenever you are unhappy, you will notice that there is an assumption that you've made of being somebody, being a body mind. That assumption is the same assumption as looking at a tree and saying, I am a tree. Or dreaming of a pink elephant and saying, I am a pink elephant.
But what about when you when you project it out to somebody else?
Like same thing.
It's the same thing.
Same thing. As soon as there is a me, there is somebody else. You see, when I experience in me, I am this body, then you are some other body. Consciousness doesn't experience bodies. Consciousness experiences wholeness. Right now, you're not looking at a body. It's just presence, pure presence. Thought says, I am looking at Magdi's body. But that thought, if thought says, I am a pink elephant, okay, we laugh at it, you see. Because thought cannot know what you are doing, cannot know the perceiver, cannot make a statement about the perceiver. The thought cannot say, I, meaning whatever is perceiving thought, is looking at a body. How can a thought say anything about I that is perceiving it? Because thought doesn't perceive the perceiver. Thought is perceived by the perceiver. You follow? So the thought that is perceived by the perceiver cannot say, oh, I am looking at Magdi's body. Thought is random. So right. So consciousness doesn't perceive bodies. It's purely being, pure beingness. You can't really correctly speak about consciousness because nothing can really speak about consciousness. It's a wordless, it's silence is the purest expression of consciousness. But since we're in conversation, consciousness is in just the business of beingness. It's being itself. Okay, but forget about these words, okay? Don't erase that. Consciousness doesn't perceive a world. It's a seamless experience, let's say. It's the ocean being the water. How about that? Or the water being the ocean, whatever. So when you perceive another, you're in the same business of perceiving separation. This is why sometimes it's said, only love is real, only love is true. Because in love, there is no other. That's what really that saying says. Or like God, Jesus, who said that me and my Father are one. Me, meaning me, this person and the divine are one. Not me as this person, me as all me's and the Father are one. It's not, there is no other. Mind perceives another. Because the mind starts with perceiving a me, and then it perceives another. Objects, things. Yeah? Okay, so maybe we can close our eyes.